some of the young people here, we go to something called the Big Church Day Out in May, and we take another group in, is it May? We're going in May again, and sometimes what they bring on is somebody who does like a little act to, it's like an interlude. Sometimes they bring someone who does some football skills, or there's some hula hoop, but there was a hula hoop lady who did like 20 hula hoop things all at once. I can't do that, but I'll come to that in a moment. It's really good to see you, and thanks for taking that. And the idea is during the talk, when I say some things, you might have some questions. Not abusive messages, but questions about what I talk about tonight. And I don't profess to having all the answers, but I've spoken to quite a few people that I think might have some answers. So if something comes up and you're going, well, what about this? Then feel free to write down a question. There might be an opportunity at the end to look at some of your questions and hopefully start a discussion. Because what I see tonight really, and I'll tell you what it's about in a minute, is starting a discussion. Now, the whole series really is about relationships. And I just wrote some things down from the last song where we sang that our God is an awesome God. And so I just want to say before I start, that's a bit silly because I already have started, is that if you sung those words and you believe it, if you believe God is an awesome God, then above everything else, above everyone else, seek God first. Above anything and anyone. And if we sang there that God's desires are the best things for us, if God knows the best things for us, then seek those things. Because sometimes we think we know that God wants the best for us, and yet sometimes we run away from what God wants to do in our lives. And so therefore we're not actually getting the best, what God actually wants and intends for us. So seek God first, and seek the things he wants for your life first. So I think it's okay to leave tonight with lots of questions and things maybe you're not really sure about, but I want you to go away and talk to other people about those things, because it's a kind of a lifelong discussion about your view of relationships. I think the title tonight is Should I Date a Non-Christian? Should I Date a Non-Christian? But there's some other things we're going to touch on as well. I just want to take you to a petrol garage. Not literally, not tonight, being practical, we haven't got the risk assessment. But I want to take you there to a petrol garage in a town just north of London. And I walk in because I've just put some fuel into my car. It was a silver Astra because I'd just written off my green Corsa on the way to a holiday club. I remember it was a Friday and I was rushing to get to holiday club in the half to holiday, and I accidentally hit a Mazda head on. Anyway, I was in a silver Astra and I filled up my car with petrol and I went into the petrol station and I was queuing up behind people because that's polite. And I got to the front of the queue and this lady, 23-year-old-ish, went, "It's you." "Yes." "Number 7. She said, "It's you." "Yeah, it's me. I don't know who you are." I said, number 7. She went, "It's Adam, isn't it?" I was like, "Yes." "Adam Clayton?" "Yes." "Number 7. She said, "You don't know who I am, do you?" I went, I looked at a name badge. "Deborah." She said, "Deborah?" I said, "Are you Debbie Perkis, who was in my class at school?" "You do know me." "Clearly." Number 7. She said, "I fancied you for 7 years. I turned away everybody. I was waiting for you. You never even looked at me." Sorry. But thing is, I was already married. She had different names depending on the day. Monday it was basketball. Tuesday it was football. Wednesday it was cricket. I felt, I just paid and got, and I'm really sorry that I didn't fancy you and then ran away. It's, relationships are complicated, aren't they? There's all sorts of words, maybe pressure, regret, hurt, excitement, but generally they can be quite complicated. They can be hard to negotiate. And actually, it kind of makes us think about, should we date in the first place? I just want to say a couple of things. First of all, you are lovely. I might never know you, but God thinks you're lovely. We talked about finding our identity and where we find our validation and what makes us important and valuable. And the Bible tells us that we are more valuable to God than we can ever really understand. God's love for us is bigger than our mess ups, which can be huge. God's love for us is sacrificial in that he gave his son to die for us. God's love is never ending. It says in the Bible that he knows all about us and he loves us. That he knew us when we were being formed. He knows that our thoughts, he knows everything about us, and yet he loves us immeasurably. So when you think about finding value, sometimes you go to other people, you wait for them to say, I love you. You're lovely. You're really nice. I would like to spend lots of time with you. We wait for that because that makes us feel good. But when we are reliant upon other people to be told that, that can be also very, very dangerous. When you think about this idea of should I date or should I date somebody who shares my faith or doesn't share my faith or should I marry that person, then what we can do sometimes is follow other people's examples. So I went and spoke to a number of people in the church who had had different experiences. Some people had only ever dated, as it were, the person they married. And they waited until they were older to do that. Other people maybe had lots of different kind of relationships growing up. Other people maybe when they weren't a Christian, actually dated a non-Christian. And I went to talk with people and talk about their experience and what their advice would be. But what I think is really important to say is, although you can learn from other people's example, that isn't always the best way. We want to find out what God's best intention is for us and not just necessarily follow. It worked out for them, and so it would probably be okay for me, even though they warned me about the path they trod. When you look in the Bible and see, what does the Bible say to me about dating somebody? It doesn't really say anything, because culturally people didn't do that. They would have either had arranged marriages or they've got married very young. And so culturally, this idea of dating didn't really exist in the times when the Bible was written. But when you look at what the Bible says about relationship, what it says about marriage, what it says about purity, then it has a lot to say about those things. And so we're just going to look at a couple of passages before we go on. I just want to turn to the book of John. In the book of John, it tells us about Jesus at the very beginning, and it tells us about the Word becoming flesh. And in John 1, chapter 10, it says this: he was in the world, and through him, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him yet. And this is to all of us that believe in Jesus, yet. To all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, and children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. And so those of us that follow Jesus, actually, we're his children, his prized and precious belonging. We've come out of the darkness that we were once walking into the light. The Bible says we were spiritually blind, and now our eyes can see God for who he really is. And so that's who you are, precious, precious people. And it says this, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is full of grace and truth. And we'll look at some things tonight that might be true. And they might be kind of good principles and wise things to follow, but because grace is bigger than our mess ups. And so if you're thinking, but I've already done this or this, but this is, I've already gone down this path, or do you know what? Jesus can cover all of your mistakes. But Paul says in the Bible, if I know that this might be a mistake, should I keep on kind of walking down into this mistake? Or just because God can forgive me and give me his grace? Or should I not? And he says, by no means. Don't do it. If you know things not right, rather than going, I'll go there and then Jesus will forgive me, don't go there. By no means, don't do that. Okay. So some people might say, well, as a youth group, we're youth leaders here, do you have a rule? You know, some youth groups might say, that's the rule. Okay. Everything inside this hula hoop is the rule. Okay. I'm in the rule. I'm doing what I was told to do. But then as soon as you're going to go outside of the rule, then you are outside of the group. And so some people say, do you have a rule that says you can't date? You've got no dating. We don't date here. We don't do dating at Holland Road Youth. And we don't have a rule. We don't have a rule that says you can't date. Because once you create a rule, if you know, if you're outside of that rule, then you're pushed away and you're pushed outside. And that's not what we're about. We're about saying that let's do wise living. It's not about creating a rule. It's about wise living. And actually, if we are outside of that, then there's grace. So don't take away from this, oh no, there's rules, I have to stick to those rules. We're saying there's wise choices to be made. Follow wise choices. Follow God's best plan for your life. Okay, I just want to think for a moment about some questions that you might ask before you decided to have a relationship with somebody. And then the truth is that I imagine you've got people you know at school, whether you call them friends or not, that you know have boyfriends and girlfriends. Nod at me if that's true. There is nodding. Okay. And so the accepted rule is that at a certain age, I don't know, kids come home in reception and go, I got a boyfriend. Okay. But then there comes a point where you think, you know, it's not really a boyfriend. It's just like something you like to play in the sandpit with. And that's great, isn't it? It's great to play with people. It's great to enjoy people's company. It's great to be part of a youth group and hang out with people and have friends. That's massively important. And we talked about the value, or I did certainly before, of friends, about being a good friend. But when we say this kind of exclusive relationship, well, there's probably some important things to ask yourself and some things to decide upon before you even think about going that way. Now, some people say, well, how old? How old should I be? I read a quote recently and said, age doesn't matter unless you're cheese. I think you could pick holes in it. Both the quote and the cheese. You know, I think age does matter. I think age and maturity is really important. And I'm not going to put an age on it, but when I spoke to some people, they gave me counsel and said, actually, do you know what? I'd wait till there's a 2 in front, is what some people said to me. I know, I saw your eyes. Other people might say, think about the changes you go through from, you know, your early mid-teens to your early 20s. Think about the changes. And actually, as I go through some of these points tonight, you might think, well, if that's the end game, you know, if I'm playing the long game rather than kind of, you know, being with somebody for 2 months and then someone else and someone else and someone else. If I'm playing the long game with my heart and my emotions and my body, then I probably need to be in a place of maturity and stability before I enter into an intentional relationship. There are people that get together when they're very young and they stay together and they get married and they have kids and they get old together. That happens. But it's quite rare. It's quite rare, but it happens. And so I think age is important, but I'm not going to put a limit on it. Because who am I to put a limit on it? Here's some questions to think about before you actually say, look, someone's there interested in me. How is my relationship with Jesus? Am I close to Jesus? Because if I'm not close to Jesus and I'm going to date somebody, how am I going to bring them closer to Jesus if I'm not close to Jesus myself? It's not the right time for me to form a relationship if I am far away from Jesus. And secondly, a second question to ask, and this is one that my wife posed, who dated somebody who was at church, was how close to Jesus are they? Just because somebody frequents a church building doesn't mean that their heart is for God. And they may take you away from your Saviour. Wow, you might be thinking, these weren't my initial two questions. It was like, are they hot? And do they like my hair? You know, do they laugh at my jokes? Do they think this is a good dance move? But I would say they're probably deeper, that hurt, more important questions. And the third thing you might want to ask yourself is, am I believing what I'm hearing outside of the scripture, outside of the people that are following Jesus? Or am I believing the things I'm seeing on telly and what my non-Christian friends are telling me at school? Who am I believing? Am I believing, go out with them, there's no problem. They're fine. I mean, they've had six girlfriends in the last 2 months, but they'll be fine. You know, it'll give you some cred and some credence. You can be on their list of, I once went out with Darren. You know, I'll have experience. I'll learn through it. The Bible tells us to guard our hearts and to treasure them. And fourthly, where is this going? Why am I entering into kind of this relationship? What's the end game here? Will I be happy in 6 months if it just fizzles out and we never speak again? What's the point? What's the point of this relationship? Where is it going to? So I looked in some different places to look for some kind of some principles before kind of entering into dating. And I have to say, when you look in kind of Christian books on dating, and you know, you go to Christian websites on dating, and when you talk to church leaders and Christians and say, should I date a non-Christian? What do you reckon they say? Should I date a non-Christian? What do you reckon they say? No, they say no, yeah. Everyone I've spoken to, I've spoken to people that dated Christians when they weren't non-Christians. I've spoken to people that weren't Christians when they first started dating. I've spoken to anybody who has a faith in Jesus, and they've all said, don't do it. And I said, but you did it. And they said, yeah, but don't do it. It's dangerous. We shouldn't have done it. But God's grace was enough for us. He protected us and preserved us. He helped us. Somebody said to me, who was a non-Christian, who was dating a Christian, they said, actually, when we first dated the Christian, they weren't close to Jesus. And my intention as a non-Christian was to get them further away from Jesus. That was my intention. I was actually trying to drag them away from the dark side. And they said, how could that have been good for her? How could it have been good for her to pull her away from Jesus? That was my intention. But God had other plans. But he said, get down on your knees and beg them not to do it. I said, but it worked. You're married and you've got kids and stuff. They said, tell them not to do it. It's not the way. Interesting, isn't it? That all the people I spoke to said, don't do it. If we're people of lightness, if our goal is to follow Jesus, if we've been rescued from the consequence of sin, brought into relationship with Jesus, if we are his children, then we want to follow him. If someone is close to you and not following Jesus, it's going to make it really hard to do that. I spoke to another girl who was a Christian who went out with a non-Christian guy for 2 years. And she said he was so nice and he was so kind and he was so generous and he was so helpful. And his eyes, I tell you, his eyes, could get lost in his eyes. She said, but a crisis came in her life. Close family bereavement. And they were poles apart. They had poles apart. He couldn't comfort her because he had no comfort to offer. And that relationship ended. Remember I said about, what about someone in church? Someone who goes to church. I want to say sometimes, particularly when you're younger, you think about your dynamics of your youth group thing. Isn't it really cool that we can all hang out together and have a good time and like each other and it's not complicated? You know, as soon as you kind of think, oh, maybe we could start going out. And you think, you know, just a bit of fun and, you know, see how it goes. Just think about how that might end and how that might affect your friendship. Saying, should we do this? Who's coming? Oh, they're coming. Oh, we can't go because they're there and it's awkward. And so it can be difficult when relationships end, which most do in your teenage years, how they might affect the dynamics between each other and the things you do and your friendships. And that's important to consider. I looked in a book, easy. It's a book with words. And looked at some principles for dating. And these were some of them. And these might evoke some questions. And so you might think, I want to write a question about that because I don't agree. Okay. I'm just going to pose these as kind of things, guidelines, really. And the first thing is, I know Nick spoke about this. And I'm not single. I'm married. But I was single before I got married. In fact, I was entirely single before I got married, because I never dated anybody. I know. It's what you're thinking, isn't it? And I don't know how I didn't. Does that make sense? That's a very weird thing to say, isn't it? I didn't know who didn't. If I think all the people that crossed my path, you know, I shared a house with kind of six Christian girls. I'm thinking, oh, in your respect, how did I ever not find somebody? I went to a large youth group with lots of people my own age. I wasn't a social recluse. People kind of came across my path, but I never dated them. I remember going to university, being propositioned on my first day, quite intimately, by somebody. There were all these opportunities to have relationships with somebody, but I believe I was kind of freed during that time, actually, because being single affords you, gives you opportunities for things that you can't do when you're with somebody. You know, you've seen somebody who's been dragged around by the other half. Can you come and do this? I don't think I can come and do it. Can I get it? I can't come. We're going to a recital. Okay? There's a real freedom in your single years, you know, particularly as you become more independent and you grow up. There's things you can do in life. You can say, yeah, I'll go on mission. I can go on mission. That's great. I'd love to go on mission. I'll do the holiday club. No problem. How many days? I'll set up for Encounter. I'll play in the band. Doesn't matter what time I get home. There's all sorts of freedom in singleness. And they are amazing opportunities to live for Jesus and to build good habits in your life. Don't waste that time. Secondly, be reasonable. You know, some people, I don't think this is a male or a female thing, have got this long list of things that say, when I meet someone who can do this and this and this and this and this and this and this, then maybe I'll consider it. Likewise, don't say, breathing will do for me. The breathing. There are signs of life. I do. Think about your expectations, you know, don't go, not too high, not too low. Be open to who it is you might meet with. If there was, I mean, you wouldn't think, for example, that a widowed, broke, homeless girl with a family noted for incest, who's a recent convert with a bitter mother-in-law. Sounds like a great partner, but that was Ruth, and Boaz in the Bible was blessed to marry her. And so there's different circumstances, you know, in which Jesus might provide you a partner. I've said briefly about the hula hoop, about kind of being legalistic about dating. He said you can't do it until you're like 29. Didn't. Okay. Saying actually, you have to get to know people. You have to get to know people. It's okay to say, do you want to grab a coffee at Starbucks? I'm dairy intolerant. It's okay to get to know people, to hang out with them, to spend time with people, and encourage us to do that. That's what part of being part of a youth group is, actually, is getting a chance to be friends with people. And the pastor himself told me, encourage them, be friends for as long as you can. Because ultimately, relationships are built on friendship and being friends with those people. One thing that kind of I often think is about where are you looking? Where are you looking for that other person? People might say, I've had so many failed relationships. I met this guy in a nightclub and didn't last. And then I met this other person. I met them just in the park. It was a bit dark. Thinking, where are you looking for these people? Where are you? You know, you want to say, no wonder. No one, you know, where are you looking? Where are you putting yourself out? You know, if your heart is for God, where are these other people whose heart is for God as well? They might be down the park, but they probably won't be. So think about where you're looking for those people. Something which is often be said is about boys be brave. You know, in the Bible it talks about men being the lead in a relationship, in the romance stakes. Talk to my wife, it's all true. No, don't, please don't. No, it's not. It's terrible. And sometimes, boys, we have to be brave. One, because I think that's quite an attractive thing. People want to be wooed, don't they? Isn't that true? They don't want to do it all themselves. I wrote myself a card and signed it. It cost me $120. Can you pay for it? You know, there's boys be brave, but also one of the ladies in the church said to me, "Tell the girls not to lead boys on." It's coming from a lady. Okay, there's, you know, be careful about how you present yourself. Not necessarily like how you present yourself, but how you present to them. You know, are you just being a tease? And likewise, you know, are we leading one another on into kind of false kind of cul-de-sacs that aren't going to be helpful? We're going to make it hard for other people, you know, what by our example about what we how we're being. In the song, in the Bible, it talks a lot in Songs of Solomon, very intimately about relationships and about the physical element of relationships. But a repeated phrase in the Songs of Solomon is, and I kind of modernize this, is don't rev the engine. In terms of don't awaken love. In terms of the physical boundaries that you would put on your relationship, it says that there's a right and proper time for a physical relationship, and that is a thing to be enjoyed within the safety and security of marriage. And so think clearly before you go into a relationship, what is it you're hoping to get out of this relationship? And thinking, if it's to pursue kind of physical satisfaction, then that's probably a wrong motive for wanting to date that person. And lastly, look at who God puts in front of you. I had a friend called Eddie. He got married to a girl called Emily. And I remember at their wedding, I was standing behind my friend Andrew Cherry, who's very tall. And he was standing in front of me. And there was a fireworks display, which is always quite impressive at a wedding. And then their names came out kind of in burning letters. Eddie and Emily, but Andrew was standing there, so all I could see was D-I-E-E-M-I-L-Y. Die Emily. I thought, this is her wedding. And then Andrew went, what? And he turned around and saw Eddie. But Eddie, he asked Emily out seven times. Very biblical. Seven times when they were kind of, it was probably about 20 when he did that. And she said no 6 times. But he was quite persistent. He really liked her, and he was still there in front of her. They were in the same church, same place. And she went, all right, I will go out for dinner with you once. 18 months later, they're married. You see, sometimes you can overlook the people that God puts in your life and who you've developed that friendship with over time, those people that you know. So one of the kind of the big things that comes out of this is well, when should I start dating? And what I've gleaned from people and what I've kind of understood and read about the Bible's purpose for us to actually to find somebody is that ultimately we will marry them and we will come into a promised relationship, a committed, faithful relationship with that one person. And so when should we start dating? Now this is radical and this will make your eyes go big and like, what? But this hopefully might be helpful for you. Is that it's probably wise to start dating somebody when you feel in a position that this might lead to marriage. And that's massively, almost laughably counterculture. If you stood up and went, yeah, guys, I think you should start dating when you're really in a place where you're prepared that this may lead to marriage, they would go, if you comment, that's ridiculous. Because we're in a culture that says if it feels all right, And you're happy with it and you're comfortable with it, and then it's your life, it's your body. You do whatever you want, actually. Nobody has any say over you. But when we belong to Jesus, actually, we're kind of cluttered to Jesus. We belong to God. The Bible says our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And we are not our own. We've been won by Jesus. And therefore, what we do does actually matter. It does actually matter. It's not just playing around and seeing how it goes. Some of you might be thinking, but I'm getting to know this person, and I think through me they might believe in Jesus. So I think I should pursue this relationship. Sometimes it's called flirt to convert. One, you might be overestimating your evangelistic zeal. And your ability to do that. I spoke to another woman who wanted to name her anonymous, who said that she kind of had a friend that became a Christian, and she was quite instrumental in that process, and she felt obliged because he fancied her to then go out with her. Because she thought it would upset him. And so after 9 months, it kind of ended with a fizzle when she wasn't really bothered. He was heartbroken. But then he was also angry, thinking, oh, what are Christians like? Why do they do this? He became angry at the church, and he left the church because of it. So it can be a very dangerous game to play. And I think that's the thing that came out of that. It's dangerous. It may work for some people, but it often is dangerous. And it can make a situation you're walk with Jesus very difficult, because you're walking in different directions. Now, the questions that were presented to me tonight were quite varied. And one of the questions was, well, when do you marry someone then? You marry someone when you're probably in a position where you're mature enough to do so. Don't look at me like that. And that often come with age. If I said you might get married at this point in your life, you go, that's fair enough, I can understand that. But dating, that comes earlier. Well, it does. I mean, you would want to get to know that person before you get married. Dating does become before marriage, not after. Although it's important to still kind of spend time with that person. I think really importantly, and this is again weird, why would you get married to somebody? Why would you marry somebody? What do you reckon? Because you love them? It's kind of like, because you love them. But unbelievably, the Bible talks about marriage in the way that kind of Jesus loves the church in a sacrificial sense. And so it's understanding that actually you're ready for marriage when you see marriage not as a thing to pursue happiness through, but actually an opportunity to grow in holiness and to grow in worship for Jesus. It's an opportunity to come together with somebody and lead them on in their walk with Jesus, not just for your mutual hmm-ness. Although there's quite a lot of hmm-ness when you first get married, because it's a joyful thing being with somebody who you're committed to. And lastly, somebody who shares the same vision of marriage as you. So throughout your relationship, it's important that you're talking to them about why you feel that you're in this relationship with them in the first place, and what they see as the end game. I know somebody very well who has had multiple relationships with people, and she's the same age as me, but she never saw any of them ending in marriage. And so for several years, after several years, she's been in a relationship with people that she knows she will never have a long-term relationship with. So it's important to talk about and to think, even if you're thinking, marriage, really? I'm 11. To think about what it is, what are you looking for in a marriage partner? Because that means you might have 15 years to think about that and to make decisions about it and to pray about it and be prepared for it, rather than just stumble along and go, okay, what's it all about? To actually pursue that. I'm just going to read something from the Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, which is quite a well-quoted verse. It says, "Do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness?" If dating with intent, and there's lots of terms around this, I'm sure if you looked into it, you know, there's lots of kind of movements about dating and, you know, purity principles and things that people have decided on. One of the things it said is like dating with intent. That means that there's a purpose for you having a relationship with somebody. And if you're dating with intent, the pathway is eventually to get to marriage. Don't marry a non-Christian and save yourself from that. There is grace and there is truth. And the Bible tells us that we shouldn't be joined together with non-Christian. But there is grace in that. But why not follow a pathway that's going to lead you closer to Jesus and avoid you difficult times and trouble? And you know what? I always think it's best to think about this and to make decisions about this before you get there. You know when you're in the car and you get to a junction and you didn't really know if it was left or right before you got there? And normally I need a wee, and I'm so indecisive when I need a wee. It's very personal, but it's true. And so you get to there, and you don't know whether to go left or right. You don't know whether to go left or right. I'm going left. It once happened to me in France when I got massively lost. And I said right, and my wife said left, and it was left. We went right. But we hadn't thought about it beforehand. So if you're thinking, is this bit about marriage relevant to me? Then yeah. Think about the pathway that you want to tread and make some covenant promises about which way you want to go before you get there. So when someone says to you, how about we do this? You go, no, I've decided to do that. Very recently, Beryl Buckle passed away. She'd been married for 65 years, I think. Is that right? Oh, no. Beryl Watts, sorry. But Beryl Watts. Hadn't they been married 65 years? Is that about right? 65 years. Relationships are supposed to last. That's pretty strong glue that's kept people together that long. And I think if you saw an elderly couple walking down the seafront hand in hand, you might go, oh, it's really sweet. But I could never do that. You know, people. But the truth is, actually, with this understanding of Jesus' grace life, we can. Relationships are meant to last a long time. And so sometimes rather than just jumping into a situation, actually take time to prepare for it well. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you give us good guidance for our lives. And we often choose to ignore it. I just pray that whatever is true from what's been said tonight would remain, and that you would guard our hearts and you would lead us in a pathway in our life that keeps us very close to you and that also draws others close to you as well. Lord, thank you that you bring us truth, but you also lavish on us your grace. That you want us to know that we are loved by you. And when we make mistakes, you forgive us. And we thank you for your grace. So help us in this area of relationships, of dating, of preparing for marriage, for our future marriages. That you would be at the heart of those relationships. In Jesus' name. Amen.